is our Lord's purpose that God and men are one. We're going to cover this week's morning revival.
Amen.
God and men are one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think we end our Lord's table here. And I would like to give some announcements. Is there anything who would like to introduce yourself? I don't see any new ones. Okay. Sister, would you like to introduce him?
Yeah. Well, I'm here, Regina's sister, Sarah.
Amen.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome back.
Amen.
Amen. Happy to see you. Amen. Okay, so the announcement here, I have a relative few. The first one is interesting. This is a special fellowship. So there will be a series of fellowship over the Zoom. Related to the topic of migration. The first session is scheduled as the following time, April 23rd.
Today.
So it's today,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, 6 p.m. And it will be on Zoom. The Zoom ID is 974-485-7769.
It's on the newsletter.
The passcode is also there.
Same.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the first announcement. You can find the Zoom ID and passcode. The second one is the corporate pursuit. This week we enter into the Matthew, the life study of Matthew, message 5 and message 6. Life study of Matthew. Message 5 and 6. Yeah. Next is do the reminder for the saints to attend the prayer meeting, 8 p.m. on Tuesday at our local district prayer meeting location. Next one is the reminder for the semi-annual training registration. It's scheduled on July 3rd to 8th at Anaheim. If you want to register, both live and video training. The deadline is May 1st. If you have any question, please contact Brother Kyle and Sam. There is a link, Google Form link for the registration. If you would like to attend. Next one is the Young People Mid School Spring Conference. This is scheduled on May 12th to 14th at KPCC. This opens to 6 to 8 grades. The registration due is also May 1st. And you can register online with the link called pursuewithzoe.org. You can find the link on newsletter as well. For the service today, P5 and Busking Reach are scheduled to serve the food today. And P7 and Highland Park are scheduled to serve the food on next week. For the cleaning, P2, P3, and P10 are scheduled to do the cleaning for today. And for next week will be P5 and Basking Reach for the Lord's Day. After the Lord's Day meeting, we'll have the cleaning service. Last but not least is we would like to let Santa know that on the April 30th, there will be an end of semester blending meeting, open to all college students, and the burden sands. So not only students, all the burden sands who are burdened for the college work, you are invited. For more information and to RSVP, please check the newsletter. There is a QR code. You can just scan and just find more information and register. And we will have the young people meeting today. Is there any other announcements?
The Memorial Day conference in Chicago, all the hotels are taken.
Okay.
Yeah, I checked right after the last Lord's table, and those additional hotels all gone.
All gone, okay. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I guess that's a good thing.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Maybe we can begin the prophesying meeting. So this week, We're in week two in the Holy Word for Morning Revival. Maybe we could all read the title together, or we just give a minute while we're getting it. Amen. Experiencing the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by living in the divine romance. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could read it again. Experiencing the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by living in the divine romance. Praise the Lord. So I think last week, right, we saw the eternal blessing of the triune God, right, which we are enjoying and experiencing through the divine dispensing. Right? But this week, just impressed, actually, by living in the divine romance, we are experiencing this divine dispensing.
Amen.
We're experiencing the triune God dispensing himself into us while we're in this divine romance. Actually, the brother in the intro word, I appreciated his utterance. Actually, he said this matter is the spirit and heart of God's economy. Actually, if we touch the divine romance, right? Actually, I think intrinsically, in reality, we're in the dispensing, right? Actually, and this is such a very, I think it's hard for me to speak on it, because this is something we're probably so familiar with, something we've heard a lot, right? Oh, there's a divine romance, right? Oh, God, right? But actually, this, I appreciate the brother said, actually, if we have this sort of attitude, we really need this word. Actually, we need this word even more. We need to see what's really on God's heart.
Amen.
We need his fresh wooing and his fresh drawing. But I actually appreciated, actually, this way of love, this way that he dispenses himself into us. Actually, it's the best way. He even said it's the fastest way, probably the most effective, right? We're not experiencing, I think sometimes we get a lot of knowledge, right? And we try to apply it. Actually, it's quite difficult. And we know, actually, that doctrinally, this is not for our understanding, right? This is for our experience. But actually, love, when we love the Lord Jesus, when we set our whole being on him, right, when we enter into this divine romance, actually, spontaneously, we're brought into this divine dispensing.
Amen.
And so we need a vision to see this. And there's a verse that the brother brought out, actually, in Hosea 11:4. He said, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Right? This is Jehovah God drawing his people, right? But then actually there's at the end of that verse it says, and I gently caused them to eat. Wow. Actually, as the Lord draws us, as the Lord woos us, right? As we enter into this, actually he causes us to eat. Actually, in such a gentle way, right? Actually, this is just the divine dispensing. He causes us to eat of him, of his very self, as our life and our life supply. So maybe we could read Roman numeral 1 all together. The Bible is a romance in the most pure and most holy sense of a universal couple. God in Christ as the bridegroom and God's redeemed people as the bride. Maybe brothers on... sisters on A.
Throughout the centuries, God has had a romance with man. He created man with the purpose of having a counterpart.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers, and on B.
God is a lover, and he created man in the image of himself as a lover. This means that he created man so that man will love him.
Hallelujah. Actually, so this point is really brought out in this week. Actually, we get a whole overview, right? The Bible just reveals this divine romance, right? At the beginning, in Genesis 2, we have Adam and Eve, right? We have this picture of this universal couple, right? Even Eve comes out of Adam, right? This typifies the church, right, and God's people. And then we have Adam typifying Christ. And then, right, at the end of the Bible, right, we have the New Jerusalem. We have the bride, right, the bride of the Lamb, right? The bride has made herself ready. So there's this consummate marriage, right? God with his redeemed and chosen people. And so especially in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, we see it very clearly in the church, right? But actually in the Old Testament, we see God towards his people, right? In Isaiah, I think it's 54:11, where he says, "For your maker is your husband," right? Jehovah had this heart towards his people. He was their husband. They were actually his wife, right? And so, actually, the whole Bible is just this story. Actually, I really appreciated the table this morning, right? How could a country girl like me become your bride, your match-to-be, right? How could, you know, God, who is perfect, right, who is by himself, right, how could he fell in love with man, right? How could he be joined to man, though, right? How could he have this counterpart? Actually, he had to go through this very long process, right? He became a man, right? Christ lived and died on the earth, right? And actually, there's so many verses in the New Testament, right? We see the love of God. Actually, even now, it's been poured out into our heart, right? But the whole Bible, anyway, Lord Jesus, I'm probably already out of time, but the whole Bible just speaks of this divine romance.
Amen.
So I should so pray. We really need to touch this afresh, saints.
Amen.
Actually, if we think we know this, actually, we, Lord Jesus, we just need to enter this into a fresh way. Because the Lord is still drawing us. He's still wooing us. He still really wants to have this intimate and lovely relationship with us.
Amen.
So maybe just to, really for the sake of time, I'll just, in this week brings out Song of Songs in a lot of detail, right? Because in Song of Songs, we see sort of a bridged form of this romance. But there's this really wonderful progression, right? Mm-hmm. There's the lover is like a mare. She's so strong. She's so independent, right? And then she goes through this process. There's the dove's eyes, and then there's the like a lily, right? And then like a dove, and then even we see this process of transformation that the lover is going through. And so, actually, maybe we can read Roman numeral 2 together. In Song of Songs, we see the relationship between the experience of the divine dispensing and living in divine romance. Actually, let's just read. I feel like maybe we could read A so much because it's such a wonderful point. If we really love the Lord, we will surely have the growth and transformation in life. Let's read B as well.
Amen.
Because the seeking one in Song of Songs loves her beloved so much, she experiences divine dispensing, and there is a continual change in her growth. Amen. Saints, if we love the Lord, we should be those who are growing.
Yes.
Right? This should really be our experience.
That's right.
Even there's the extent, I think, I really can't speak to it, but actually in later, the whole rest of the week, actually there's an enlargement, right?
Amen.
There's the individual matter, but this is a corporate matter, right? She becomes even a building, right? She becomes likened to Jerusalem, to Tirzah, to somewhere where God is dwelling, right? Even as the city. And this is what we see is that God is not just after an individual person. Actually, he's after a corporate bride. He's after the built-up body, right? And this actually fully consummates in the New Jerusalem. And so I hope, and this is really, actually the Shulamite, right? She has this word Shulamite, means it's the feminine word of Solomon. So actually, she fully matches him. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for our lovely bridegroom.
Amen.
I hope many of the saints can bring out the riches from this week.
Amen.
May the Lord really draw us more and more.
Yes.
Amen.
I would like to share once again one verses from Old Testament and one verse from New Testament. I remember last week I shared the Deuteronomy to see the relationship between God's divine plan, ask Moses, right?
Amen.
And then Paul is substantiate that verses. This today I want to share first verse from Genesis chapter 2 verses 24. There's the background, the story is that God created Adam, right? He said, when he created Adam, he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. So he created a counterpart for him, which is Eve. We know that. But there he said, this is 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Okay. So, see this verses, right? A man shall leave his father and his mother, and with his wife, they shall be one flesh. And then if we come to the verse from Ephesians 5, there's another verse, 5:31. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And the two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
Who wrote this? That's Paul.
Yes.
What he refers to? Church and Christ.
Amen.
The greatest mystery in this universe. So just by seeing those two verses, we see there's something hidden in the Old Testament. You can say hidden in God's heart. He wants to have some relationship with man, which is the church. Our brother mentioned the counterpart, the bride, is actually all his chosen people. All the saved people, which is his church. That's his bride. That's his counterpart. So we can see this divine romance began where? Began from the very beginning when God created man. He has his heart. He wants to have a counterpart. It's not good for him. We can say it's not good for God to be alone. He wants to have the man as his counterpart.
Amen.
And then we can see, how does this happen? It's through the divine dispensing of his divine Trinity. Yesterday night when I fellowship with the brothers, I still have some natural concept, like how the divine Trinity relate to this divine romance. When I think of God, I can maybe love God as a husband. I couldn't get how I get love with the Father and Spirit. But you can tell from the very beginning that God himself has the plan to be with the man. That's the Father's plan. And in almost to the end, to the revelation, there's a bride and the Spirit saying come. Right, so the Spirit is the one really transforming us. So you can really not say it's only the Son or the Spirit or the Father. It's all three parts. It's the triune God himself.
Amen.
Has this internal plan.
Amen.
And works this out together.
Right.
Even from the very beginning, it's God. It's the plural, right?
Yes.
God said, "We shall make the man."
Amen.
As our image and likeness. So the triune God has this internal plan. Last point I really appreciate is also our brother mentioned this divine dispensing is through the love.
Amen.
Love is the fastest way. It's probably also the most efficient way. So I know we have been talking about this message so much, but back to the practice or our daily living, I think I still lack of love.
Yes.
I still lack of this divine love that in the Bible said you should love your God with all three parts, right? Your heart, your mind, all your strengths. But I have to commit, I am not loving God in that way. I still have my own parts reserved. So my prayer to the Lord is, Lord, make this verse happen to me. Make me a lover of you.
Amen.
With all my mind, my heart, and my strengths.
Amen.
This is the healthy teaching in the whole universe.
Amen.
We are very appreciated the Thanksgiving conference giving us this book. You cannot find it in Christianity. The divine dispensing of the divine Trinity.
Amen.
For the divine economy. Amen. The first message just brother mentioned. Then we have a three message. Is talk about experiencing. The first one is week two. Experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by living in the divine romance. Wow. That's today's. And next week we will share the living in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by another way to explain, by the law of the Spirit of the life. Next week. And after the total three ways, experience divine dispensing, the divine Trinity drinking the water of life. So we have 3 weeks, very important. But we touch the first one, talk about the divine romance. The speaker in the conference, he talked, if you are the Christian, you never mention about God's love. That means your faith, just like a religion. We just come to hear, you know, just like a religion. But when you talk about the God divine, talk about God's love, wow, totally, you really enjoy the dispensing. Amen. You really enjoy the dispensing. I don't talk too much. I just follow the scholar. He did a very good job. He mentioned the key point here. He said, the Son of the Son, we see the relationship between the experience of the divine dispensing and the living in the divine romance. He pointed eight. That's the crucial point. I never imagine, I read Bible so many times, I never put that together. Son of the Son, relation to the number eight. If we really love the Lord, we will surely have the growth and transformation in life.
Amen.
When you talk about transformation, you will talk about only New Testament talk about transformation. How come the Son of the Son talk about the transformation? Wow. When brother explained, then I really touch. We have this ministry to put the Old Testament and New Testament all together.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's raining.
I'm sorry. You remember when we talk about the chapter 1, Son of the Son? Talk about the first time he saw the Sulamite. What he say? You like a mare. You like a mare. M-A-R-E. Mm-hmm. That means the lady horse. Very fat, very strong. You see the first love? Just like a fat lady horse. Oh, why you see that? How ugly is that? Before, the first time he saw the Sulamite, he said, he's a little bit black, but he's beautiful. But then he said, like a bear. Oh. In England, pronounced the mare is a little bit, it's a Mara. Amara. That means, you see, for the beginning, you see, he's like an ugly horse. Then, the chapter 1, he talked about Sulamite, 15. He said his eyes are like a doe. Wow, a little bit change, right? You feel him, fell in love just like we. We come to the Lord, we're so ugly, like a Sulamite. You know? Chapter 2, he said, you like a lily. You see the transformation? Lily, like a lily. Chapter 2:14, he talks about like a dove. The ugly horse become the dove. Wow, like a spirit. Amen. Chapter 3:6, he talks about the pillars of the smoke. Wow, totally change. Like a pillar. Oh, pillar. And chapter 3:7, he talks this ugly Sulamite become the Solomon's bed. Wow, we can enjoy with, you know, Solomon's bed. And chapter 3:9, he say, you are my darling king. What, you are my darling king? Oh, yeah, chapter 3, then they talk about you become the Solomon's crown. Wow, the 8 point, you see, through the 8 point, you see the transformation, brother. Wow. This is the first time I understand Son of the Son talk about the transformation. Amen.
Amen.
I really appreciate that point, or all the points, that the divine romance and the experience and growth in life go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. This is something that I know, I was shown a while back that really blew my mind, which is, I think Brother Joe, he brought out this wonderful progression, these wonderful pictures that show you start as literally someone who's carrying the world, Pharaoh's chariots, and then you end up as someone who matches Solomon in the very end. It's like a wonderful progression. I did also notice this, that, you know, in the beginning, it's funny, the beginning of Song of Songs actually starts with the lover already loving Solomon. And then, so then I would wonder, like, okay, so then what's going to happen to these next 8 chapters if you already love him? But the point is that her love needs to advance. Her love needs to grow, and then she herself needs to be transformed.
Amen.
So that shows that even though we might love the Lord a lot right now, it might not be so pure, it might not be so holy. It needs to be brought through a process until the very end. And the point I want to make is that by the end of our course, we become less and less concerned about our own condition, about how we're doing. In fact, there's a lot of failures that she has about self-introspection, where she's like, oh, I'm not doing so well. Then she's like, she actually rejects the Lord and tells him to go away until she gets away. If you see in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, pay attention to the, what's it called, like the verbs and the pronouns here. My beloved is mine, and I am his. So this is chapter 2. First she says, my beloved is mine, for my enjoyment. First my enjoyment, then I am the Lord's enjoyment. Then chapter 6, verse 3, it says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. So then by verse 6, it's more important that the Lord is satisfied before her. And then in chapter 7, it just says, I am my beloved's, and his desires for me. At that point, she has no concern at all for her own enjoyment. The only thing that matters to her is that the Lord is satisfied. So it starts with, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Then it's, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Then by the very end, she doesn't care about herself at all. All she says is, I am my beloved, and his desire is for me. And when I heard this, I was so touched that this is a very sweet and organic way to see how much we've grown in life. And this is intimately related to our love for the Lord, to the point that we love the Lord so much that we don't care about how we're doing, and that we only care for what's on the Lord's heart. And even in chapter 7 and chapter 8, it talks about how she's utterly consumed with just the Lord's move, the Lord's work, even concerned for the other believers, and this and that. So anyway, and then even the very last verse says, make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. At that point, the only thing on her heart is, Lord, I want you to come back, and I want you to return. And until then, I just cooperate with you. So this is kind of a small point, but I really appreciate the more we grow, the more we love the Lord, the more we grow in life, and the less we're concerned about our own condition.
Amen. Amen.
There is another verse also in the New Testament, you know them. It says, husband, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave up himself for her. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, a lot of this word love appears a lot in the Bible. Now, this divine romance, I remember when I married. You may remember when we were courting our wives. Now we do anything, right? We were very romantic. I remember that's wrong. Not that much, but that was kind of romantic. I was reading about who's more romantic, the Americans or the Chinese.
Well, the South
Americans. That's the South Americans. Yeah.
Yeah,
Latino more romantic, but hourly, natural romantic, very hourly, not really, you know. Of course, we want to catch the prey, you know, the wife. But I remember I was romantic with my wife. But this is a natural romance. Like I said many times, and sometimes she said, how you say that? Well, my love for my wife really is gone a long time ago. You know, the love that I have for her is now Christ's love. You know, and sometimes we use this divine romance when we marry, you know. It doesn't last, but then now that we are in this life, in the Christ life, we should keep cultivating this romance.
Amen.
How do we cultivate the romance? You know, we should pray with our wife. Mm. You know, try as much as I pray in the car, in the mornings, at night. I try to pray as much as I can with my wife. You know, we need to eat, like the brother said, we need to eat the word. We need to pray. We need to rely on the Lord that will keep us together. The Lord wants this romance that, like brother says, without the experience and growing in life, it doesn't work. We need to really, really ask the Lord, Lord, give us more of your love to give you back to you. We need to be together. We I need to pray together with, I want to pray together with my wife. I want to, you know, praise you with my wife, sing together with my wife. Because this is the same as, you know, Adam and Eve. This, the two is a very important thing. The two, the Lord, God is alone. He wants, you know, to be loved by us. You know, He wants to be together with us. You know, we need really to ask Him, you know, tell Him, Lord, sorry, because, tell Him, you know, I'm sorry because I don't love you like you love me, you know, because our natural love really doesn't matter. So we need to ask more of His love to give Him back to Him. And this divine romance continues all the time as we gather together, we, you know, mingle together, we are together here singing and praising. We are getting together in love, you know, and getting ready because He's coming for His bride, you know, to get married. And so we just need to continue this divine romance. Mm-hmm. We continue this divine romance with our wife too, you know. And the young people that you're going to marry, you're going to be courting, you know. You're going to be probably bringing roses and chocolate. This natural romance. I know, you're Chinese. You look at me like, no, Chinese don't do that. Okay. But yes, this is a natural romance, right? But we need to really pray our wife like we're courting the Lord, you know? To love your wife as Christ loves the church. You know, it's one type, you know. Thank you, Lord, for this message because it really touches a lot, right? It's good.
Amen.
Here, some phrases that our brother James Lee said that really touched me.
Yeah.
Says, it is not what you are, but what Christ is within you.
Mm.
And that it's not an outward change. It's an inward. It's an inward turn.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy, he said, we should pray, Lord, show me something deeper. Show me something higher that I may have such a basic inward turn. You know, outward correction and regulation means nothing. The most precious thing is an inward turn.
Yeah.
That we would turn to our new person, this new person that is within us, which is Christ.
Amen.
And so that we need to forget about our knowledge. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we do need to have the knowledge. But what we should really care for is the presence of Jesus. And he brought an example of someone who has loved the Lord for 20, 30 years, but then stopped loving or got cold.
Right.
You know, it says in the Bible that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold.
Yeah.
And so that even we've been loving the Lord 30, 40 years and we grow cold, but somebody new comes in and really, really loves the Lord, that person is in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And we may have been here for 30 or 40 years, but we have grown cold and we are no longer in the presence of the Lord. And so, therefore, you know, we see that the first stages, it's just like a love affair. You know, he brought forth that love is needed in order to deal with a person. Mm-hmm. That if you deal with a chair or you deal with things, you don't need to have love. But when you deal with a person, there has to be love.
Amen.
And that's why, you know, the love of the Lord is compared to a marriage relationship. You know, without love, no marriage, the marriage life per se cannot exist. There has to be love. And like Jerry says, it has to be a progressive love.
Amen.
You start out, you know, you have butterflies in your stomach and all that. But then later on, that love matures. And it's not that you don't have the butterflies anymore. It's just that love has progressed into another stage. And in the four banners, you know, at the time, you know, of the Song of, you know, the Life Study of Song of Songs in 1995, and the brother brought in those four stages of the seeker's experience, is that in the first stage, she's being attracted and drawn by Christ so that she may pursue Him for her full satisfaction. Like at this stage, she appreciates the Lord, but that's not enough. You know, then the second stage, she's called by the Lord to be delivered from the self because she gets introspective. She starts to say, oh, how come I'm not enjoying the Lord as much anymore? The Lord isn't that sweet anymore to me. Oh, you know. And so the Lord is calling her to get out of there. Forget about yourself. Go to the cross.
you know, and forget that, you know. And he says, come away, get out of yourself, do not bemoan yourself. Come with me in my resurrection through the cross. And then she's called, and, you know, and the third stage, you know, to, you know, to live in ascension, you know, to go up to Lebanon. Lebanon is up there high, to look down, you know, at the evil spirits and all, you know, the principalities. So she ascends, right? She goes in ascension to the point that she can participate in spiritual warfare at this point. But even that is not enough. You know, then she's called even more strongly to live not only in ascension up there, but also to live within the veil in the sanctuary. And then the Lord calls her, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, as lovely as Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know, that because the Lord needs that building, he needs that city. And for that, we need to go even deeper than that, because, you know, the sanctuary is, you know, Tirzah. Tirzah was in the Israel, you know, in the kingdom of Israel in the north, and Jerusalem is in the south, the kingdom of Judah in the south. And those two cities are compared to God's building.
Amen.
And so I really, you know, enjoy the fact that the Lord, the flesh, never leaves us. It just never leaves us
right.
until we die. And so that that's yeah. why the Lord calls us into a deeper, what is it? I forgot the words, but he calls us into a, after experiencing the cross, after experiences resurrection and ascension, there is a deeper, even a deeper experience of the veil, living within the veil. We cannot forget that the flesh is still in us and needs to be continually dealt with. So this is the ultimate call, is for us to live within the veil. So this is too profound, and maybe some of us, including myself, we haven't experienced this that much yet. So so basically, we need to ask the Lord to take us deeper, to take us deeper.
Amen.
And that we would not be, you know, settling for, you know, second best. Just to settle, even to settle, to be a garden. Yes, in the garden, she became all, you know, all the things that she enjoyed of the Lord, all the fragrances, the bundle of myrrh, you know, and all of that. Now, then she actually produces them for the Lord's satisfaction, so that the Lord can enjoy her. And even that's not enough, because ultimately, it's the building. And so we need to pray that the Lord would take us deeper and deeper so that he can have his building, his dwelling place here on earth.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to follow Sister Virginia's testimony. Something that really touched me when Brother James was sharing this message in Thanksgiving conference, he said, the more we love him, the more we are constrained by him.
Amen.
Yeah.
So if you don't love him, you won't be constrained by him. You will go your own way.
Yeah.
And I am following, I'm still in the Exodus training listening to Brother Lee again. And something he touched, was really touched me this week. He shared that when Moses was up in the mountain, the children of Israel were building a golden altar, you know, the golden calf. And he said the key issue here is the children of Israel, their heart was full of idols. They had no heart for the Lord. And so, and then another thing that really touched me is, so we, you know, he said that why did they build a golden calf? Why not something else? And he said the calf is for enjoyment. For entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that fill our heart, our idols today, sees, is entertainment.
Mm.
So really, I mean, this just like was a spear into my heart, because, you know, you do, I have idols, and one is entertainment. And then the other thing that really touched me is the verse in Proverbs 4:23. I always remember this. Because it was shared many, many, many years ago. in a training. It's like Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence.
Amen.
For from it flow springs of life. And in our translation, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance. For from it are the issues of life. And you know, saints, the Christian race is a long race. It's a long journey. It's not a mushroom. It's, you know, many, many, many years. Today, many years ago, I was in my 20s. Today, over 50, you know, way out there, you know, long journey.
Amen.
Lots of problems, lots of valleys, lots of mountains. Don't forget, lots of valleys.
Amen.
Deep valleys. And you're walking through the shadow of this valley of death with the Lord. So, so there is, you know, you need to keep your heart. And there's one sentence here. It says in the outline, in number one, it says, if there is no romance between us and the Lord Jesus, then we are religious Christians, not romantic Christians. And the Bible is a romantic book, and our relationship with the Lord should become more and more romantic. So, saints, I just am really touched. Amen.
You know, it's interesting, sister, what you brought about the golden calf. Because I deal with a lot of Indians who are Hindu religion. One then an old Indian man told me that the reason why the Indians worship the golden calf is what happened in the wilderness with the golden calf. Because they idol the golden calf, yeah. Very interesting.
When sister Rick mentioned about the the love of Christ constrain us. I'll read the Bible for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 15. For the love of Christ constrain us, because we have a judge. This, that, the one die for all. Therefore, all die. 15. And he die for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and have been raised. To no longer live to themselves, no longer to live ourselves. Amen.
We should encourage with the stages of song, the human life. Because I get it, and that is introspection, and I get it in a situation that there's any hope. But when I got this week in these stages, and I can identify with a lot of things of the Shulam, I said, oh, I still have hope. Hallelujah. And the end, she became the reproduction, right? She became Shulam. So really, this week is a very so sweet impartation. It's a lot of meaning for me, because I really feel so encouraged. And the Lord is taking me out of looking to myself for Jesus.
Lord is good.
really enjoyed day four this week. You know, as we realized from, like, this week's portion, you know, the redeeming God is signified by Solomon, and his redeemed people are signified by the Shulamite. And then, you know, the goal is the consummated Shulamite, right, which is the mingling of divinity and humanity. To express the process and consummated triumph of God in human virtues as a new Jerusalem. So I also really enjoyed the part in the outline for day four was where it says, to love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body with the heart, soul, and mind and strength absolutely on Him. That is to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him so that He becomes everything to us and we are one with Him practically in our daily life. Amen. So this really shows how He just wants, He wants to be one with us and mingled with us in all details in our life. So many times, we already know that when God is mingled with us, right? Of course it comes with the spiritual things, right? But even in the practical and ordinary things in our life, God wants to be the source of that, to be mingled with us. And it's just really made me think back to because in Christians on Campus, the small group Bible study, we were reading, chapter 5 in 1 Timothy. And that chapter was kind of different from the rest of the book because the chapters we read before were about the spiritual things. But chapter 5 was very focused on very ordinary and normal things. There are verses that say do not upbraid an elderly man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, elderly women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. And then there's footnote for verse 8. It says, all instructions in this chapter are very human, normal, and ordinary. Nothing is special, miraculous, or supernatural, even the matter of healing. The whole book is written in the same principle. This is necessary for a church life. So, I don't know. I feel reading this verse, I don't know. I feel maybe some people in their soul life do not agree with some of the things said, or some people even do agree. Even sometimes human culture, right, can influence us to, maybe agree with a lot of things said. But even that misses the mark. Because the Lord, He wants to be... He wants to be, as I mentioned before, He wants to be everything to us so that we are one with Him practically in our daily living. So, He wants to be the source of all these humanly and normal things. And it's just that, that's what it really means, to be that when He's everything to us and He's practically even in our daily life. He's the source of all things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a lot of food.
Right.
You can't even stand up and say you love the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoyed the point in day four where mentions to say that we are the same as God in his Godhead is a great blasphemy, but to say that we cannot be the same as God in life, nature, expression, and function is unbelief. So, yeah, it's just that encouragement because it might feel sometimes that, like, it's such a far-fetched idea, right? To how could we ever be the same as he, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just an encouragement in this day that this is actually the goal, right? And it's not a unrealistic thing because this is what God wants from each one of us. And as the one who loves us, right, he has provided in his love the means for us to achieve this. And really, all he wants is for us to reciprocate that, because, you know, in this divine romance, love requires a mutual feeling from both sides, and, you know, both sides have to do something in this relationship, right? And God has already provided all that he is to us in his love, but he's waiting for us to respond to his courting, right? To respond to all these things he's been sending to us, all these, I guess, hints, right?
Kisses.
Yeah, so all we have to do is take his love and realize and reciprocate that love.
Amen.
And that really will help us to, you know, receive this dispensing and cause us to be able to be one with him.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. There is a song, and a new song that says, I kiss the sun. I just want to read the chorus. It says, kiss the sun, kiss the one, who for love to me has come, hearing me, charming me. He has died upon the tree. He died for me, saving me. Now his spirit joins to me. I have kissed the sun.
Amen. Sometimes I ask myself, how can I love to the Lord? I think there's an interesting paragraph from the day one. I would just read it. Suppose your wife thought you are a big body as a giant, approaching you adoringly, bowing herself and kneeling down to worship you. What would you say? You would say, silly wife, I don't need such a worshiper. I need a dear wife to embrace me and kiss me. If you will simply give me a little kiss, I will soar in the air. This is how we can fall in love with the Lord.
Yeah.
And approach him.
Yes.
Amen.
And not seeing he is the God on the throne, but approach him. Be gentle and be intimate.
Yeah.
And that's what actually God is looking for. If we can kiss him a little, he will soar in the air.
Amen.
That's Amen. How we fall in love with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I enjoyed this point in the outline. In day three, it says, if we really love the Lord, we will surely have the growth and transformation in life.
Amen.
Amen.
So I really enjoyed this because I feel like it's hard to, like, really be able to, like, actually
quantify the if we're having like a growth or transformation in life.
Yeah.
Like, but it says that if we really love the Lord, we will surely. So by faith, we know that we are growing in life.
Amen. Amen.
Which is really touching to me.
Amen. Amen.
You really deep from your heart, you call his name.
Amen.
What you will say afterward? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Spontaneous. When the early days when I was in a Chinese speaking group, we usually practice with the new ones. We read, you know, a paragraph, and then we say, calling 50 times the Lord's name a day. You're in the shower, you do, you know, morning wash, you know, whatever. And that practice helps a lot. If you want to taste how that feels, you can start to practice tomorrow, or mean tonight, before you go to bed. Before you go to bed or you get up in the morning, you can just, even though you are very down, there's nothing to, you feel like to praise, or you know, you don't have a good, you know, like situation, calling his name and then say, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
And that will bring us to another realm.
Amen.
Automatically. Amen. And that's a kind of dispensing I experienced. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Thank you for loving us first.
Amen. Amen. Right. This needs to be our daily practice. You know, we really need to practice to speak I love you to the Lord. Right. Express our love towards Him. I feel like, you know, in this matter, you know, our saints, I mean, including myself, I feel like we really, really need to be perfected, right? You know, the Lord is still loving us. But a lot of times I feel like, you know, our understanding of love is kind of like just in our mind. We didn't put it in our practice. And actually a lot of times our emotion does not catch up to the realization or what we understand in our mind, right? So that, you know, causes us feeling like Lord is Lord, we are we, right? And there's a gap, you know, but by calling on His name, right? By really speaking to Him that we love Him, I think this really brings us closer to Him. It is not a, I really appreciate this, all the saints sharing in this week. You know, as also we're fellowshipping with the brothers, they're just like, yes, the Bible is really a book of Romans, right?
Yes.
You know, from the, actually Brother Ni, towards the later part of his ministry, right? He talks about this, you know, the first two books of Bible and also the last two books of, last two chapters of the Bible, right? You know, you see, you know, in the first two chapters of the Bible, right? In Genesis, we see the Lord actually, God created man, and then out of man, he made a woman, right? And then we saw this couple. This is really a prelude, really, right? To the last two chapters of the Bible, right? In Revelation, we saw the Spirit and the Bride, right? And the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
So yeah, praise the Lord. And in between, you know, what is actually the most important between a loving relationship, between the couple? Love, right? Actually, if you search the love, I mean, nowadays you have so many, right, searching tools, you'll actually see the love is in every book of the Bible, not just the Song of Songs. Of course, Song of Songs is very particularly on this couple, right? And actually, yeah, saints have fellowship a lot. I think I also got
very much helped by the transformation, right? She was described as a mare to start with, right? Wild horse, right? It's like all for himself, like unbridled horse, right? And then, you know, became a horse in the Pharaoh's chariots. Maybe very useful to the Pharaoh, to the world, right? You know, we all have our education, you know. In the world, we're very useful. But in the Lord's eye, sorry. You know, he cannot use a horse, a wild horse. He cannot use a horse that is only for the world. So she needs to go through a transformation, right? So I very much enjoy, you know, this part. I think I wanted to read out this part. I think, you know, after the meeting, I think saints probably already know this, but then if we still have some doubts, I think we can still go back to the life study, right? It says, previously the lover was likened to a mare, a horse among Pharaoh's chariots, a rose in Sharon, a lily in the valleys, and among thorns, a dove, a pillar of smoke, a bed, a palanquin, a garden, and a fountain with a spring. But now she's likened to the heavenly dwelling of God and the heavenly Jerusalem, indicating her maturity in life for God's building. So here we really see that in the whole book of Song of Songs, we see this transformation work, right? This is actually in the New Testament term, we can see that actually the Spirit is operating us, transforming us, right? Transforming someone that's individualistic, right? Someone that's only for us. Or like Jacob, right? The heel holder, right? The supplanter, right? I want this, I want that, right? You know, all for myself. And then, you know, this one will be transformed to be a man usurping others to a man of blessing others, right? You know, we see the transformation of Jacob as well, right? Yeah, so this is what the Lord wants to gain, right? Eventually, this one will becoming not for himself, that this one will becoming a dwelling place for God, right? Yeah. Talking about dwelling place, how much time, like in the day, do we actually allow the Lord to dwell in us? Yes, the fact is the Lord is with us all the time, but are we open to his dwelling, right? Because when we say we're open to his dwelling, that means it's we're actually having this one living with him, right? Actually, this was mentioned, I think it was the day one. You know, we not only have his life in us, but then even during our daily living, our moment by moment, we really need this one to, he lives in us, and he also needs to live out of us, right? We're being the one to express him, whether it's in our family life, in our work life, in our relationship with others, relationship even with ourselves, right? We need to be godly, you know? We need to be someone that is really allowing the Christ to manifest through us. So Paul has no other desire. His desire is to magnify Christ. Right? So this one was, Christ is not only live within him, Christ is even magnified through his living. So that is someone that the Lord really wants to gain, right? Be a living testimony, you know, today, and then in the future, right, in the New Jerusalem. In fact, today is actually where the Lord is doing, is actually building the New Jerusalem, right? The New Jerusalem doesn't come from nowhere. It's not like coming out of thin air. It's actually the New Jerusalem is actually the element that the Lord is actually building in us, right? Little by little. So this actually brings out to be that our spirituality is not like we're searching for the growth in life, right? Brother, help us to see that if we truly love the Lord, we will have the growth in life. If we're feeling that we stop growing, that means, you know, there's something wrong with our love towards the Lord, right? But if we so love the Lord will have a way to dispense himself into us, and then that will cause the growth, right? So this is, you know, this growth, maybe individually, right, initially that we saw, okay, something like this is individual, but actually the Lord is actually working out not just individual lovers of Christ, but actually a corporate lover of Christ, right? You know, a lot of times we actually can feel, yes, individually I may be able to enjoy Christ, but when we were put into the church life, when we're put into coordination, oh, how much natural self has been exposed, right? We just cannot work with us. We cannot coordinate with others, right? My opinion is so strong, right? I just want to do things my way, right? You know, But when we are in the church life, when we're in the coordination, we are, you know, the Lord is actually putting us, right? The Lord is actually molding us, right, into his death, right? You know, and then out of death, there will be a resurrection. There will be a life, you know, coming out of us, right? So the Christ is actually being formed, right? Not just as in the individual Christian, but in the building work, right?
Amen.
So this is, you know, so marvelous. I just feel like, you know, but this week, the whole emphasis is on this love.
Amen.
You know, I just feel like, yeah, I so much appreciate this, Roman numeral 2. It says C, right? It said, in C it says, whatever one loves, his whole heart, even his whole being, is set and occupied and possessed by the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
By whatever we love, right?
Right.
So, and then continue, it says, to love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with the heart, soul, mind, and strength, absolutely on Him. That is, to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him, so that He becomes everything to us, and we are one with Him practically in our daily life. You know, it was, you know, in our fellowship, you know, we actually had some discussion with the brothers, like, you know, where is actually love, which organ, like, in our whole being, right? So we're like, oh, you know, it seemed like the love is pointing to our heart, right? So yeah, and we also say, like, our heart is a loving organ. Mm-hmm. But then here, the Lord says we need to love with our whole being. Whole being also including our body, right? You know, so yes, we first receive the love into our heart, then we would, you know, love the Lord back with our heart, right? You know, our heart is obviously the first thing. But then we will be following with our whole being, right?
Yeah.
Actually, our you know, there will be a response, right? If we love the Lord, yes, we would love to be blended with the saints, right? So that will require us, let's say, our body to move, to come to the meeting, right?
Yeah.
To come to the fellowship,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if we love the Lord, we will love his commissions to save the sinners, right? Then, you know, when there's a gospel meeting, we will, like, you know, be so, alright, we would be like, okay, going up, right, to preach the gospel, right? So our body, so actually, when you actually have this kind of concept, you see actually our presenting our bodies towards the Lord, right? In Romans chapter 8, right, verse 12, right? Paul says, present your bodies, right?
Amen.
Holy and, you know, to the Lord, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, this is, now with, we see it's not just a commandment, right? We can say, yeah, it is a commandment. Yes, this is a commandment. It's the same commandment the Lord gave us, right? Love your God with all your might, your all being, and with your whole heart. So, yeah, praise the Lord. I just feel like, yeah, amen. Just as our brother shared earlier, oh, Lord, I just don't have enough love towards you, right? Lord, recover my first love towards you. I feel like, yeah, a lot of times where we're, when the Lord shines in us, right, that we don't have the enough love, we don't need to struggle. Say, oh, Lord, yeah, you know, I don't have enough, and just let it go, right? We should just say, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, work in me, Lord.
Amen.
Pour your love into me.
Amen.
So I can love you. Oh, I can also love your economy. Love what you love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Continue speaking to our heart.
Amen.
Our heart will turn to you.
Amen.
The veil is a takeaway.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
That's right, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. You are using your love to work out your economy.
Amen.
Oh, such a romantic way.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be your lover.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just pray you will increase our love to you.
Amen.
Oh, every day.
Amen.
Oh, gain our first love to you.
Amen. Yes. Gain our first love towards you.
Amen.
Lord, we repent that, oh, we don't love you enough, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just say we open to you. Oh, fill us with your agape love. Oh, so we can, oh, Lord, really love you with your love. Lord Jesus, gain us, Lord. Give you this week. Oh, Lord, we, oh, Lord, allow you to, Lord, live in us. Oh, we also, oh, live you out, Lord.
Amen. Lord, for this new week.
Amen.
Oh, new beginning.
Amen.
Oh, to advance in our love for you.
Amen.
Lord, be so lovely to us.
Amen.
Oh, that you could grow in us more.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, do continue to mingle your divinity with our humanity.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, make us one with you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, in our detail, in all details in our ordinary living.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to be the source of our love.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to love with our entire being.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Keep us in these divine lands forever.
Amen.
Oh, thank you because you have to love us first.
Amen.
And then we can return this love to you.
Amen.
Oh, we need you every day.
Amen.
Oh, no matter the circumstances, we know you are with us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, open the way.
Amen.
Open the way for those who are in darkness.
Amen.
You can bring them to light to know your love.
Amen.
We pray for all those who are with the way astray.
Amen.
Oh, bring them back to the church life.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, because you always taking care of us.
Amen.
We are your children, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Lord, we cannot trust ourselves.
Amen.
Trusting you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, become our love, our strength.
Amen.
Oh, draw our heart to you.
Amen.
So our heart can become your dwelling place.
Amen. Probably need to walk quietly because he's still meeting all.